The first reading today, which really is speaking of the wisdom of God, and therefore is actually speaking about the Lord Jesus himself, we hear that from the beginning, before anything was made, God possessed him, and that I was set up from eternity, from of old, before the earth was made. And we ask ourselves, well, if that's actually about Jesus and the divine wisdom, why do we have it on the feast of our Blessed Lady's Immaculate Conception? Because from all eternity, before God chose to create anything, he had already determined that his son would become man. Remember, God knows everything in one thought. We need thousands and thousands of thoughts to be able to grasp the various things around us and to understand them. God knows everything in one single thought. And so the first thing, of course, God knows is himself. And in knowing himself, he knows everything, because everything is contained within God. And so when we're talking about God, there technically isn't any kind of chronology involved. So the only thing we could say is that there could be a hierarchy of thoughts, if we want to put it that way. But there's no chronology. It's not that God knew this first, and then knew that second, and knew that third, because he knows everything simultaneously. But in the hierarchy of thoughts, God, again, knows himself first. He knows his Son. He knows the Holy Spirit. And he knows at that point that humanity is going to violate everything that God set out for us to do. And so from all eternity, before anything else, God had already determined that his Son would become one of us. That his Son, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, would take a human nature to himself. And therefore, in the hierarchy of thoughts in God's mind, if we want to look at it that way, the very next thing is the Immaculate Virgin Mary. In determining that he would have his own Son become one of us, he determined that he would make a fitting place for the beginning of the human life of his Son. A place that is fitting for one who is God himself. That is, a place that would be without sin. Because he came to redeem us from sin, and while St. Paul says that he became sin and was hung upon the cross for us, that point of becoming sin was not to the point that he actually had any personal affiliation with sin itself. And so right from the very beginning, from the first instant of his human existence, he was in a place that was without sin. Something that no other human being conceived in the womb of their mother would be able ever to say. Adam and Eve were created without original sin, obviously, but neither one of them was conceived. So every one of their children and all of the offspring of Eve, with that one exception of our Blessed Lady, by a singular grace of God, was kept free from original sin. That is indeed cause for rejoicing. And when we look at it from that point of view of our Lord becoming human, it certainly makes perfect sense that God would make one human person who would be without sin so that Jesus could begin his human life in that sinless place. But God is not just about himself. Everything that God does is for us. And so we have to be able to look at this even more broadly and say, yes, it is true that this was the place for Jesus to begin without sin. And we can certainly say that, yes, our Lord came into this world ultimately to do the will of his Heavenly Father, to be obedient, to glorify God, And so the Immaculate Conception, too, is to glorify God. But Jesus himself came into this world for us, so that we could be saved from our sins, so that the one who is without sin, who would take our sins to himself, would be able to open for us the way to eternal salvation. So if that's the case with the Son of God, whom we heard would say that his delight was to be with the children of men, that is something that is beyond our comprehension. God's delight is to be with us. Does that make sense? It can't make sense because it's pure charity. It's not about the intellect, it's about the heart. And so God created one human being with an immaculate heart. He created her without sin and gave her the grace so that throughout the entire course of her life, she would never once sin, even in the slightest way. Not one bad thought, not one instant of being impatient. Even as she watched her son being hung on the cross, not even one single movement of anger within her heart. A truly extraordinary person. And again, we can look at that and say, yes, God did that for himself, made this fitting place for himself. But if God's delight is to be with us, then once again, we recognize that yes, while he did this for himself, he ultimately did it for us. That's the part we have to understand. Certainly, he allowed our Blessed Lady to be conceived without sin for her own sake, but it was for our sake. That there would be one human person in all of history who would actually do what we heard in the first reading. That is, wait at the gate, watch at the gate. He who finds me will find life. He who hears my instruction will be wise, refuse it not. This is the one who heard the instruction, the word of God, and kept it perfectly. She is the example for us. But we have to understand even further than that. Yes, she is a human person who lived a perfect life. So we have one that we can hold up as the example. And that is a great blessing. But that's not why God did this. He didn't just give Our Lady to us as an example. Because each one of us who is baptized is a member of Jesus Christ. And it is because we are a member of Jesus Christ that we are able to call God our Father. Well, God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Blessed Virgin Mary is his mother. And if we are able to call God Father because we are members of the only Son of God, then we can call Mary our mother because we are members of the only Son of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is both God and man, who took his humanity from her, and in so doing raised up our humanity. So again, we look at that and say, what a beautiful thing what he did for Our Lady. And it is. What a beautiful thing he's done for you and me. He's made us children of our Blessed Mother, just as he has made us children of his Heavenly Father. as he received his humanity from the sinless Virgin Mary, we must remember that even though we are with sin, our humanity is absolutely no different from hers. None. God created us in his own image and likeness, and that hasn't changed. When God looked at what he made, he saw that it was very good. That has not changed because it cannot change. It's just that he had the ability not only to make someone who was very good, but make someone out of everyone who is very good and make her the best, the highest, the most perfect of all of his creation. Higher even than the highest of the angels. So it's not merely a matter that she was conceived without sin, which indeed she was, and that is what we celebrate today. But we have to also recognize what follows from it. Having no sin, God also infused in her from the moment of creation a love that is beyond any other. She already had that in the womb of her mother, Saint Anne. A love that is beyond even the greatest of the angels. That was a gift from God given to our Blessed Lady. And at every single instant of her life, she grew in love. She was able to love more. You and I are able to do the same thing. It's just she started out with more than what we will ever have. But nonetheless, you and I have the ability to grow in love at every instant of our life. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But if Our Lady already started out with more than everybody else, and then she continued to grow, and because there was no sin in the way, the growth in her love was exponential. This is why St. Louis de Montfort can say she loves more than all of the angels and saints combined. It's pretty amazing. But then you stop and look at it on the natural human plane, and there's nobody who can love more than a mom. She is the mother of God. The one whom she loves the most is God. So she loves him as God, she loves him also as her son. And so God gave her a love to be able to have that kind of union with our Lord. But a mother's love isn't just for one child when she has many. So Our Lady has billions. And she loves each one of us with that love, with that immaculate love, without anything in the way, a pure love. This is, again, the gift that God has given to you and me in the person of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So this is a gift that we have to recognize and praise God for. But also to be able to see that, as I said, it's not just a gift for Our Lady, and it isn't even just for our Lord that God did this so that our Lord could have this fitting place. It is for you and me that we have a mother who loves us that much, interceding for us with her son. We are all her children. We are all members of her son. He loves us infinitely, and she loves us more than everybody else combined. That's a lot that is pulling us toward heaven. So it's not for us to sit back and marvel at what God did. Yeah, we can. It's pretty amazing. But what's even more wonderful is that God invites us into this. He invites us into the love of the Immaculate Heart of our Blessed Lady and the Sacred Heart of His Son, Jesus. That's going on in the Eucharist. When you receive Holy Communion, that's happening inside of you. The love of Jesus and Mary for one another and for you is happening right there inside of you when you receive Holy Communion. It's not out there somewhere. It's not going on just up in heaven. It's happening inside of you. And they are inviting you into that love because they love you that much. That's why it says that my delight was to be among the children of men. Because he's in love with you. And he wants you to be in love with him. And he has given you the means, not only the grace to be able to do it, but he's given you a person, a human person, your mother, on the spiritual order, to be able to bring you there, to teach you as a mother will, and to love you as only a mother can. So don't try to keep this just up in your head and ponder it. Because remember what it says in St. Luke's Gospel about Our Lady. It says, Mary kept all these things in her heart and pondered them. Not pondering it in her head, in her heart. So remember what I said earlier. This isn't something we can understand in our heads. We can only understand it in our hearts. Because love, we don't get it. We can't get it. Because it's not about the head. Love is not about reasoning things out. Again, for those of you who are married, just look at your spouse and ask yourself, why does my spouse love me? Now, if you come up with all kinds of reasons, like, well, because I do this and that and the other thing and so on, that's not why they love you. Because that'd be totally selfish. Why do I love my spouse? Well, because I get this from them? No. When I ask you then, how much do you love your spouse? I hope you don't sit back and try and reason it out. Well, if my spouse is having a good day, then I'll love this much. But if not, then I love this much. And in this situation, I only can give this much. No, that's not love then. Love is not reasoned out. Love is not something that we can understand. Try and grasp it. There is no way. Love can only be grasped and understood in the heart. Not in the head. So we have this beautiful love that is happening right in our hearts. Because their hearts are so humble and so perfect in love that they are actually willing to come into a heart like ours and love us there. And they want us to love them. They don't need our love. They don't get anything from our love. We do. And that's what they want. They want what's the best for us. So ponder that in your heart. Don't just think about it. It's pretty amazing if you just think about it. It's pretty cool. Yeah, that's neat. But that's not what it's about. Don't get stuck in your head because Jesus and Mary are in your heart. That's where they're calling you. That's where they're inviting you. That's where they have placed themselves. It's your mother calling. Answer her. If we are going to follow the fourth commandment, which says, glorify your mother and father, then let's do that. And let's at least try to be obedient to what our mom is asking us to do. And what's she asking us to do? To love her son. That's all she wants. Because if we truly love her son, we're not going to sin anymore. Then we will find true wisdom. Then we will have our joy to be among the Son of God, to be among the Mother of God. If their joy is to be with us, then our joy should be to be with them. Because that's the nature of love. It's a two-way street. So they're already loving us. They're just waiting for us now to love in return. So work on that. When you receive Holy Communion especially, try your best to get into your heart and recognize there in the Holy Eucharist, you have the three persons of the Trinity. You have our Blessed Lord, and wherever our Blessed Lord is, his mom is going to be there. So they're right there inside of you. Don't be looking at who's going to communion. Don't be looking at whatever else is going. Just close your eyes and get into your heart. And there recognize the love of those two hearts. And that they are inviting you. They are pleading with you to come and be with them, to receive their love, and to be able to love them in return. That is why Our Lady is conceived without sin. Yes, for the glory of God. Yes, to be the worthy mother of the Son of God. But to be your mother and mine, so that we can learn from her how to love her divine Son.